Amen. Job chapter 13, verse 15, we'll read one scripture, then we'll let you be seated. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the anointed word of God. Job said, even if he slays me, even if he kills me, he said, I'm going to trust in him. Psalms 18 and 2, the psalmist says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. David said, he's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my help, my strength. And then in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7, one of my favorite scriptures, I have several. This is certainly one of them. Some trust in chariots. You know, in chariots in Bible times, that signified wealth. If you had a chariot, you were a big deal. If you had an army of chariots, then you were likely conquering the nations that had less. So David said, some trust in chariots, some trust in stuff, some trust in the things of this world, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's a powerful scripture. He said, you know what? Some people trust in a lot of different things. It might be their education. It might be the family they were born into. It might be what they've tucked away that IRS doesn't know about. He said, some trust in all these different things. But I'm going to remember the name of my God. In time of trial, in time of hardship, in time of despair, I know I can call upon the name of Jesus and he hears us when we pray. How many of you know that he hears you? Amen. How many can testify that you've called upon him in time of need and he's heard you and he's answered you? It's been said that it's easier to love someone than it is to trust someone. And I think that is probably true. And some of us don't trust others very easily. It's not an easy thing to do, and sometimes for good reasons, because people have hurt us, people have disappointed us, things have happened. George MacDonald, who's a Scottish author and poet and minister, said this. He said, to be trusted is a greater compliment than being loved. Because sometimes we have a hard time trusting people, and not only do we have a hard time trusting people, but we have a hard time trusting God sometime. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. You know, sometimes it's easier to trust a dog than it is to trust another person. Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand on that, but this is a true story. There was a shelter dog that this lady adopted, and she had it for some months. I don't know, 6 months, 9 months before this incident. But in that time period, it was a very well-behaved dog, and it quickly learned that this lady did not like to get licked in the face. And so the dog learned that. She was, you know, intuitive and picked up on that and didn't make it a habit of doing that. And that's a good dog, because I don't like to be licked in the face either. And some dogs are, that seems to be what they do best. And so this dog had learned not to do that. But some time period had passed, 6 months, 9 months, maybe it was a year. And this dog started, every time her owner would either get down to greet her or the dog got in the owner's lap, this dog would lick that lady on the same side of the face, on the same side of her jaw. And this happened one day, and she scolded it, and the dog got down. But the next day when she greeted that dog again, the dog licked her on the same side of the face, on the same jaw. And this happened. And it was very puzzling, because the dog had learned not to do this, but yet the dog insisted upon doing that. And she trusted her dog so much that she said, you know, something must be wrong. I've heard that sometimes dogs they can pick up, you know, on illness or on sickness. And so she went to the doctor specifically because of that dog licking her repeatedly on the same side of the face. And they discovered, and this is a true story, they discovered a cancerous tumor that was of the worst kind. And if it had been undetected until it got large enough to where it could have been detected by the naked eye, the lady would have died. So if she trusted her dog before, she probably really trusted her dog after that. How many of you know dogs are a pretty good judge of character?
Yes,
I've heard numerous people say, if my dog don't like you, then I'm not going to like you either. Because they just kind of seem to be, they seem to kind of be able to pick up, you know, if you're a good Joe or not. or if the UPS guy is actually UPS, or if he's a mugger in disguise or something, you know, if the dog barks at you, then maybe you ought to pay attention, to that. Sometimes we're really good at saying, trusting your gut, you know, if you're kind of going with your instincts. And there might be some validity to that. Sometimes we intuitively know things, and I really believe maybe women in their entirety, but certainly my wife has a sixth sense about some things. Women know some things, without you having to tell them. And is that a gut instinct or not? But in talking about trust, the dictionary definition of trust is believe in the reliability of something, in the truth, in the ability or the strength of. And I would submit and add to that, that trust is the deepest level of relationship. When you are sure of someone's trust, when you're sure of someone's love, then it's easier to trust them. You know, when you know that someone loves you unconditionally, then it's much easier to trust them wholly and completely. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's how much God loved you. And that's how much he loved me, that he left the serenity of heaven, the safety of heaven, the security of heaven. He's the creator of all heaven and all earth. And he left all of that to come down to this earth to shed his blood on Calvary for me and you, so that we would not be destined to a life of sin, a life of condemnation. That's how much God loves you and how much he loves me. He's worthy of our trust. You can trust God. You can trust what he tells you. You know, when you trust someone and they tell you something, then you take it at face value. You don't slice it and dice it and try to read the fine print and figure out, you know, there's got to be some no, you trust them because you know they have your best interest at heart. You know that they would do anything for you. And surely if anybody has done anything for you, we can say that the Almighty God, he gave his life for you and me. He surrendered his life for you and for me. So when you trust someone, you accept what they say. You believe what they say. You act upon it. You obey it. Just like Mary at the wedding, when pastor mentioned this a couple of services ago, when they had ran out of wine, and Mary just said, do what he tells you to do. And before she told the servants that, she told Jesus what was needed, and he said, my time's not yet. He was trying to back out and not, it wasn't his time. And so he told his mother that, and she trusted him so much. She didn't even listen to him. She just kind of, and told the servants, just do whatever he tells you to do. And then she left. She had that much faith in Jesus. She had that much trust in him. She wasn't even going to stay around to see what he did. She didn't try to tell him how to fix it. We try to tell God how to fix it. You know, we are so specific in our prayer sometimes. You know, we're this. She just said, do whatever he tells you to do. And she believed and trusted that he was going to work it out. How many of you know that he did? How many of you know he's still a miracle worker? He's still a way maker. He's still a peace giver. He's still our help in time of trial, in our time of trouble. When you trust someone, it's not dependent upon full disclosure. It's not dependent upon full understanding. I don't know how jet engines work, but a couple times a year, for whatever reason, I have to get on an airplane. And many of you do as well. And it's amazing to me. A 747, and I looked this up, weighs over 700,000 pounds. It flies at 35,000 feet. You know, that's almost 7 miles up in the atmosphere. Because what is it? 5,000 something feet is a mile? That's almost 7 miles up in the atmosphere. It flies at over 500 miles an hour. It's 250 feet long. That's almost a football field long. And it can seat 568 people, 700 something thousand pounds, and it gets into the air, and it flies at a huge speed with a huge number of people on it. I don't even understand how my car works. You know, these cars now, you depress the brake, and it gets to a stop sign, and the engine turns off. I don't even understand how all the engines work, but then when I let up the brake, it starts back up. and it takes off again. But we trust in it. We get in the car and we either hit the button or we turn the key and we trust that it's going to start. Some of us trust our car more than we trust God. We trust in things that we have no clue of understanding, and there's no way that we're going to understand the ways of God. His ways are above our ways, the scripture says. But we can still trust him. He's proven himself. When someone has proven himself time and time and time again, then that kind of builds trust. You know, that kind of builds faith. When someone has never let you down, and God has never let you down, he's always showed up right on time. He's always been there when you needed him to be. God is faithful. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Peter writes, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So we're given unto us great and precious promises, promises upon promises in the Word of God. And there are people that have put together books and made tens of thousands of dollars just by excerpting those promises, extracting those promises from the Word of God and putting them all together. And that's not a bad book. That's not a bad devotion to have, because it's an easy way to reference all of the promises of God. And sometimes we need to be reminded of the promises of God, the things that he has told us in the Word of God, because they're true. If God said it, it's going to happen. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a good end." God has thoughts of peace toward us. You can trust the God of all creation that has thoughts of peace toward you. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and I'm going to go through some of these quickly. Matthew 11 and 28, if you have a red letter edition, it's in red letters. Jesus speaking, he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some days you need rest more than anything else. Maybe rest in your body, but more often than not, rest in your spirit. Because if your spirit is not at rest, it'll make you physically tired. It'll make you physically sick. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Come to him. Surrender to him. Talk to him, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Amen. Isaiah 40 and 29, 29 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Amen. He giveth power to the faint, the scripture says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Who's going to do it? Yeah, my God. So Paul, writing to the church at Philippi there, you know, the wording there, "My God shall supply all your need," because sometimes I think that's important that we draw that out, because I think there are times when we are going through it and we need to be most reminded that God still loves us, that he still cares about us, that we can still trust in him, that he is going to work these things to our good. In those times when we most need him, it's very easy to look at somebody else and say, "Well, God must not love me as much as somebody else, because of this or because of that." But Paul said, "My God shall supply your need." The God of Paul, the God of Peter. How many of you know Paul was a tremendous apostle? Most of the New Testament was written by him, responsible for starting so many churches, for much of what is known as Christianity today stemmed from his ministry. He said, "My God shall supply your needs." I'm thankful that I serve a God that is not, he loves me as much as he loves you. He loves us as much as he loved Paul. We're not Paul. We're not a Peter, but he died for us just like he died for them. And the promises in the Word of God are to us, just as they were to Paul and anybody else. My God shall supply all your need, Paul said. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 through 39, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing, that's what Paul was writing to the church there at Rome, there's nothing that can separate you from the promises of God. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. You need to latch hold on that this morning because the devil would love for you to forget it. Your flesh will do everything it can to keep you from remembering that. And so you need to refresh yourself in that and know that there is nothing that can separate you from the mercy of God, from the love of God, from the faithfulness of God. You can put your trust in Him. You can put your faith in God. And Proverbs chapter 1 verse 33 says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Whosoever hearkens unto the Lord shall dwell safely. That's a promise in the word of God. And then in John chapter 14 and verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Another scripture says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. You can trust him. You can put your faith in him. You can trust him. When you trust someone, you can trust their word, right? You can trust the word of God. If he's given you a promise in his word, it's your promise. It's to you. When you trust someone, you don't question their word. You accept their word. You take it at face value. If they say they're going to do something, then you know you can count on them to do it. Yeah. Now, you have a list of people, and I could probably come up with a list of people that if they tell you they're going to do something, you don't even give it another thought because you know they're, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're not. Maybe they have good intentions, but they're going to get busy and forget. Maybe their mind is so busy, as soon as they told you they're going to do it, it escaped from their mind because you didn't see them write it down, so you know they're not going to remember it. But you know what? You can trust Jesus. You can trust God. You can put your faith in him. If he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. His word is true. He can't lie. He can't lie. You can trust him. You can trust his word. He works all things, the scripture says, together for our good. That doesn't mean it's all good, but he can bring some good out of it. And so you got to trust him when things don't look good, when it looks like there's no way any good could come from it. You don't got to try to figure out how he's going to bring some good out of it, because there's probably no way you could figure it out, because there may be no human way that any good could come out of it. But when you trust God, you can just move forward in it. You can just live tomorrow like you lived yesterday, knowing that he's still on the throne. He's still the King of Kings. He's the Creator. You're the creature. He's in charge. All you got to do is seek first the kingdom of God. He's going to add all these other things to you. You just got to seek after him, feel after him, trust in him. He's going to bring some good out of it. He's going to work it out. Sometimes, maybe oftentimes, the things that seem so bad, the things that seem so impossible to us, he's just working on us. He's just building character, as Grandma would say, in us, because we learn through the difficulties. We learn through the hardships. It'd be nice if we could just read a book. Yeah. I had an experience last week. Some of you know about it. I've told you some of it. Brother Andrew and I did an off-road motorcycle ride, 400 miles through the desert. And so I had watched a bunch of YouTubes, for the last year, because it was last Thanksgiving that we started planning this. And so we watched some YouTube videos on how to, I did. He knew it all. So he's much more accomplished than I am. So I had read, though, how to do this and how to do that. Deep sand, there are certain strategies that you have to use when you're riding through deep sand, on a dirt bike and these different things. But it's different applying it than just reading about it.
Yeah.
And so I got to apply some of those things. And you get out there, and I wasn't even thinking about what I had learned from reading or watching the video clip. But after making a few mistakes, if I do this. You know, if I look way down, instead of looking right in front of the dirt bike and just kind of, you know, this and this and this. Yeah. Sometimes God has to allow us to go through things because he's trying to shape us. He's trying to teach us something. And we're hard-headed. Yeah. The person next to you is. Or behind you, or in front of you, or the one you're married to. No, we're all pretty hard-headed. You know, we all want to kind of do things our own way. And so God allows things to transpire in our life. He allows things to happen in our life that we think, man, God, he's forgot all about me, you know, and I'm just, man, everything is falling apart. And God's allowing some things to happen because he's trying to make us into something more than what we are. He's trying to do some good in our life. He's trying to shape us and make us into what he wants us to be. When I was a child, I trusted my parents for food, for clothing, for housing, for protection, for love, for warmth, for affirmation. I didn't get up every day asking them for these things. And likely you didn't either. We just kind of trusted. Mom was going to take care of breakfast. You know, you had that 10-minute time frame before you, you know, after you put your shoes on and before you rushed out the door, and mom was going to try to make you eat something, whether it was a piece of toast or a bowl of cereal or something. Too many times we place God, I believe, in the role of a sugar daddy, and we feel we've got to continually ask him for things or we're not going to receive them. We just need to trust God. We're his children. Another of my favorite scripture, his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So if my heart is right toward him, if I'm endeavoring to live for him with all of my meager ability, if I'm following after him and seeking after him, he's taking care of me. He's looking for ways to work things out to my benefit. So you just need to trust in that. You don't got to ask him for every single little thing day after day after day. You're still the child of God today, just like you were yesterday. He's still looking to work all these things out for your good. Amen. If your focus and your heart and your efforts are being expended toward him. Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Sometimes, to grow closer in the Lord, to mature in our walk with God, we perhaps need to get a little more simple in our approach to him. And sometimes we think we're smart if we read the fine print, because we've probably all been burned when we didn't read the fine print. But you know what? When you trust the Lord, if he says he's going to do it, you just need to trust him. You don't have to read all the fine print. Matthew 18:3 says, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." God help us to be as trusting as a child is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're not going to read that, but Paul is talking about a thorn in the flesh there. And this was something that the Lord chose not to deliver Paul from, something that he just had to deal with. He had to live with that Paul had to grow in with, if you will, as he grew in the Lord. And we need the struggle sometimes. God allows us to go through difficulties. He allows us to go through struggles that we may even pray for him to deliver us from, that he doesn't deliver us from, because he's trying to accomplish something in our life. I want to be victorious through the struggle, don't you? Yeah. I want to pass the test. Yeah. If we don't pass the test, sometimes we got to retake the test over and over. God help us to pass the test and be victorious in the struggle. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm closing. If the musicians would come. He's not our sugar daddy. He's not a Sears and Roebuck catalog that we just kind of go through and pick and choose about what we need him to do for us. He should not be just the one that we turn to in times of desperation. He should not be our last resort. Right? Sometimes he is. But thank God he's always our help in time of trouble, that he's our strength, that he's our miracle worker, that he's our hope. I don't want to walk one step without him. I don't want to live one day without him. I need him. every day that I live. And I'm thankful, I'm grateful that we serve a God that we can put our trust in.
Amen.
We can put our faith in. You may not be able to trust a whole lot of people. You may not be able to trust the guy that's trying to sell you a used car. If there's any used car, I don't think we have any used car salesman. You can trust God, though. You can trust God. Romans 8:28, and I close with this. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Trust provides the means for the miracle. Amen? God wants you to know that tonight. He wants you to trust Him. And when you trust Him, then that gives Him the liberty to work on your behalf. That gives Him the freedom. That takes the constraints off of Him when you say, God, I trust You. God, I don't have to understand. I don't have to know the ins and the outs and the whys. God, I trust You. I know that You're going to work things together for my good. Would you come tonight, find a place to pray, and let's remind God, let's let God know, God, I still trust You. God, my faith is in You. My hope is in You. I don't have to know the answer. I don't have to know where it's coming from. I'm trusting You because You're God. Would you do that?
You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But You created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. My hands are raised because I surrender. Your will is what's best for me. I worship You because You're Jehovah Jireh. I bow before the King of Kings. No more crying, no more complaining. I believe Your word is true. Lord, You promised never to leave me lonely, so this is what I'm going to do. I will trust in You, Lord. I will trust in You.